God has appointed this Son, Christ, heir of all things. It means the whole universe. By whom also he made the worlds. Now that takes you directly to Ephesians 3, verse 9, where God created all things by Jesus Christ. He is the Word. He just spoke, and it was done. But he has spoke only what God told him. So God really did the creating because he told Christ what to do. Christ spoke, and it was the Spirit that was both flowing out from the very person of God and also from the person of the Father, which did it and it produced the creation. Who, that is Christ, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, or as many have it stamped with God's own character, actually stamped with God's own character, and upholding all things. The Moffat translation and others have that, upholding the entire universe. All things means the whole universe. Upholding the whole universe, or sustaining it is another word that is often used in some of the translations. Sustaining the whole universe by the word of his power. He is the Word, the spokesman. And by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins by dying for us, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, and there to intercede for us, and there to help us overcome, to help us grow in grace and knowledge, to help us become God, to help us be stamped with that same character. We need to realize what a help Christ can be. Being made so much better than the angels. Now I went into that, and how God has never called an angel a begotten son. But finally, it ends the verse by saying that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them that shall be the heirs of salvation. That's to us. But there are many things in here that I wanted you to notice. I wanted to go over some of that again. And the relationship of God the Father and how Adam should have had a relationship did not, but Christ does have. And he is at the Father's right hand and on the throne of God, interceding there for us. So let's now come to the second chapter. I went through the first chapter a week ago, and I won't take the rest of it just now. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, because Christ and these angels are interceding, are ministering to us, we ought to give the more I'm going to try to tie it up here with a tongue twister. Earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Brethren, how important is that? How many people have we had in the church that are no longer there? They didn't give that kind of earnest heed. They did let it slip. Now, there are two kinds of sins, one sin of omission and one sin of commission. Now, I've had ministers that have sinned, some by even ministers, who have sinned by commission and others by omission, by neglect. Now, you can sin by neglect just as well as you can by doing the wrong thing. You can sin by neglecting to do the right thing. You see, righteousness is not just doing nothing. Righteousness is right doing. So there has to be doing. Now, sin is wrongdoing. But there is doing. And don't ever forget that. So we need to be very careful lest we let these things slip. It grieves me when a minister has to leave, and a number of them have, and a number of lay members have. But Satan seems to tempt the minister more than the lay member. And I think you can understand why he would. The minister is one who is serving and ministering to the flock. The minister is one that Satan is attacking first. And I'm reminded of how Rona Martin told me how my wife had said, well, within a year or so before she died, she said, you know, Rona, Satan would rather destroy my husband than any other man on earth, and I believe he'd rather destroy me second.